Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
It's a powerful rendition of that wonderful song. I came across it the first time when I was in the Colorado Rockies at a silent retreat and with Peter Rumini, actually, 16 years ago. And this woman was there who wrote the song, and she sang it for my first time and was blown away because it seemed to be so perfectly unity, the idea that, you know, yeah, there's surface differences, but when you go into the heart of things, there's oneness. And I love the idea there's no boundaries in consciousness, right? There may be different vibrations of it, but there is no boundary that divides one from another. And that's the beautiful idea of unity, our essential oneness with God and oneness with each other. That's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me excited and wanting to be a unity minister and on the spiritual path, right? It's that idea. And we're in a three-week series talking about ways of approaching God. Last week, we looked at the way of affirmation, right, which is the I am, if you like. Today, we're going to look at the way of negation. And that sounds negative, I know, but it's not negative, okay? It's letting go of that which isn't real so that we can experience what is the I am. So the way of negation, and then next week we'll sort of draw the two together and see if they can blend together, the way of affirmation and the way of negation coming together in a creative way. I want to talk about true creativity. So way of negation. First thing off, way of negation is not like a negative way where may as well give up, everything's meaningless, what's the point, right? That's sort of when we first hear the word negation, negative, we think, well, you know, why bother? Because there are a number of people in the world, and we've felt it in our own way maybe over the years. This life is pointless, right? Anyone ever felt that? You know, what's the point? I mean, it's ridiculous, it's meaningless. And we've all been through the sort of existential angst, you know. I think when we're a teenager, we have the existential angst. Why am I here? What's the point? And then later on in the second childhood, which occurs at middle age and then at old age, the second existential angst point. But we're not talking necessarily about that, though we are talking about the way of surrender, the way of letting go, the way of release, yeah? Letting go of things we thought we knew. Because I was just thinking the other day about how much selective my memories are, you know? For instance, can you remember what you were doing 3 weeks ago at this time? Or 3 weeks ago last Tuesday, you know, the Tuesday before, certainly I can't, so, you know, it's gone. So there's very little that we stand on, really. We think we know something. And then I go back to places I've been to before, and they seem like I've experienced them for the first time. Like I never saw them properly, that when I saw them the first time, that they're all new again to me. And that's kind of interesting, as I thought, because I had a memory bank that told me that I knew where that was and what it looked like. When I went back there, it looks totally different. And I was talking about my late wife, you know, and bringing up those beautiful plays that she wrote. Somebody put up, I think it was my daughter, put up a picture of her, you know, for Mother's Day, way back when my daughter was, you know, 1 or 2 years old. Now she's 33. And it's like, what happened, you know? Where am I? Where did that person go? How did I feel back then? I can't remember. So a lot of life is based on suppositions, right? But really, there's a hole, really. There's an emptiness around things. So release and let go is the nature of things, because try and hold on to it. Try and hold on to all the things that you think you are and all the things you think you have. You know, you'd be exhausted by the end of the day. We have to let go, right? That's part of it. We have to be open and release. I like what Meister Eckhart says. He says this, my favorite mystic, by the way, Catholic mystic at least. He says, God is not found in the soul by adding anything, but by a process of subtraction. Interesting, isn't it? God is not found in the soul by adding anything, but by the process of subtraction. In other words, it's subtracting all the stuff that gets in the way to reveal the beauty that God already is within us. It's not, we're not adding God, right? You know, some people think if I could just let God in, everything would be good. She's already here in fullness. Thank you, God. And so it's just a question of subtracting away all the nonsense that clouds my thinking from realizing that truth. That's what we're talking about in release. The Western psychology has got hold of this. They call it disidentification. You know, you stop identifying. You have a body, but you are not your body. You have emotions, but you're not your emotions. You have a mind, but you're not necessarily your mind. You are something much more mysterious. You are that which is limitless. It's called the I am, if you like, but even labeling it is confusing because then we start thinking again, right? This is beyond all definitions. It's letting go. In Hinduism, they call it neti neti, not this, not this. And you look at all the things of phenomenal existence. You think, is this me? Well, I'm in it, but I'm not of it. And who am I then? And you get to that place, well, I don't really know. It's kind of mysterious, but it feels good. It's expansive. It's limitless, right? And it's totally creative. It's like love, folks. You cannot define or describe love, can you? You could try, but what can you do? You can experience it. You can express it. If you try and define it and say, oh, well, I got a handle on this right now, does that make you a better lover? I don't think so. You become a better lover and giver in this world when you express it, when you directly experience that. Allow it to flow through you, yeah? Listen to St. John of the Cross. It's probably my third favorite Catholic mystic. Not up at the top, but I love the guy. And this is all counterintuitive stuff, isn't it? It's hard to get our normal heads around it, but it makes sense to our soul, to our intuition. He says, to reach satisfaction in all, desire its possession in nothing. To come to possess all, desire the possession of nothing. To arrive at being all, desire to be, you get it, nothing. To come to the knowledge of all, desire the knowledge of nothing. Now that sounds stupid on one level, but what's it saying at a deeper level? It's saying you have to let go of your thoughts about something, right, in order to experience the thing itself. It's the same in a relationship. If I've got my mind made up about you, I can't ever see you anymore, right? Because what am I seeing? What I want you to be. But when I let go of it and unconditionally are present to it, then I can embrace you in your fullness, right? Isn't that what he's saying? If I want total success, I got to let go of wanting that success. Because the more I cling to it, the more it pushes itself away, right? Same with money. The more I want money and I cling to it, it seems to elude my grasp. When I can release and let go, that's the idea behind tithing, by the way. When we release and let go, more comes. It's just the way it works. The universe works that way. To come to the knowledge of all, desire the knowledge of nothing. He uses that word desire. Give up your desires for something and instead desire God, right? Desire that which is totally expansive. There's another phrase that both Davis, my late wife, and I loved, and it comes from the Lankavatara Sutra of the Buddha. And it says, nothing is as it seems, neither is it otherwise. Get your head around that one. Nothing is as it seems, neither is it otherwise. Ooh! That's a kind of koan that kind of drives your brain insane, right? Because it seems contradictory. But what's it saying? You're not seeing the full picture, but don't think there's an alternate reality where you will see the whole picture. It's already here. It's just we're not seeing it clearly, right? Because some of us think, well, okay, I assume this is an illusion, but one day I'm going to find reality. Well, no, you're not going to one day find it because it's already here, right? That's the message. It's just a question of seeing what is around more clearly. And the best way to do that is to let go of all the preconceptions, right? It's to disidentify with all the various things that accrue around us and move into that place of release. Man, it's tough to release, isn't it? Why? Why is it so tough? yeah, our ego is so involved, right, in staying a certain way that it's, I don't want to lose my ego, my sense of humanness. Fear of change. Again, back to the ego, isn't it? The ego wants it a certain way. It's comfortable. Yeah, it's comfortable. Right, the illusion of security, right? But nothing's secure, is it, really? Think about it. Like I said, you know, I had a whole life with a person that I thought I'd been married to for the rest of my life, and many of us have gone through that experience, and all of a sudden they're gone. And then what happens? You know, your life moves in a different direction, but you're still here, but you realize that that security, that comfortable life was, it was great, but it's gone. So your life is not dependent on that, on circumstances, however wonderful they are, yeah? Not that we want to get rid of them, but we have to understand that they are not permanent. They are temporary, and therefore, the love that you're with, appreciate it, yeah? Whether that be a hobby or the work or a person, whatever it is, you don't know when it's going to go. So enjoy it fully. Don't take it for granted, right? Because it may not be forever. In fact, it probably isn't forever. What's that? We're temporary, right? In Christianity, there's big fancy words for this. One that's called kenosis, which is letting go, basically, letting go of things. The apathetic way is another one, which means the way of negation, the way of emptiness. You know, these fancy words, via negativa. Matthew Fox is very interested in that particular one, the via negativa, the way of negativity, the way of letting go, the way of release. And some of them call it the divine dark, because you have to go into the darkness, right? But the darkness is as light to you, says the psalmist, right? Light and darkness are one in God. There is no dark, actually. If there is darkness, it is a nurturing darkness, like the darkness of the womb. So it's okay. It's safe. Emptying. Now, emptying, which is what this is talking about, guarantees fullness, doesn't it? Why? Think about coffee for a minute. Think about coffee. How many people are coffee drinkers? Okay, tea drinkers? Don't drink anything. All right, see, everybody drinks something here. Thank you. You can't drink it, though, unless you have an empty vessel to put it in, right? Correct? So it has to be empty so that you can have your coffee in the morning or your tea or your energy drink or whatever it might be. The beauty is in the emptiness, because then it can become full. It's the same with us. If we're full to the brim with all our conditions, you can't fill it anymore. You know, there's that famous Zen teaching of the American that came to the Zen master and said, "I want to learn everything. Teach me, master." And the master said, "Well, okay, let's sit down and have a cup of tea first." So they fixed the tea and everything, and the Zen master begins to pour the tea into the cup, and then it keeps pouring, and it pours over the top of the cup, onto the table, down onto the floor. And the American thinks, "This guy's nuts. I'm not going to have any teachings from this crazy loon." But the Zen master looks at him and says, "Listen, I can't teach you anything unless your cup is empty. If you've come to me with all these preconceptions about what Zen is, you're not going to learn anything." And then the American realized, oh, this wasn't literal. He was doing something symbolic here to show me, you know, how full up am I with my own stuff. I have to empty before I can receive. So true, isn't it? What are our preconceptions about things that prevent us from really being alive and really experiencing this moment in all its beauty? Yeah. So emptiness guarantees fullness. The universe came into being out of what?
Nothing.
Nothing. And here it is. And it's still nothing, actually, at a deep level. Right? There's more space than there is stuff in the universe. Just go out into outer space and have a look around. There's a lot of nothing out there. That's the nature of it. It's nothing. It came out of nothing. We are nothing. That's not to say it's bad, but it means it's completely changing and flowing and not subject to, as the song says. Krishnamurti wrote this. He said, freedom from the known is death. That's comforting. Freedom from the known is death. And then, though, you are living. Freedom from the known is death, and then you are living. See, my late wife used to say, don't have any near-life experiences, which is another great one, you know, because so often we're in a near-life experience, aren't we? Did you have a near-life experience this week? Or were you fully alive? Most of us say, yeah, some of the time I was in a near-life experience there. I was kind of half dead, actually. It's hard to be fully alive all the time, isn't it? Fully vibrant. But freedom from the known, giving up what you think you know, seems like death to the ego, but then you can become alive, right? Because why? Suddenly, what? I'm receptive, I'm awake to new experiences. I'm seeing things in a new way, right? I'm alive again. It's a wonderful place to be, isn't it? In that place of being teachable again, you know? It's beginner's mind, as they say. Because the expert's mind is full of stuff, but the beginner's mind is, oh, wow. And all the great inventions come from beginner's minds, if you think about it. Because most of the inventors and the great innovators gave up because all the things they tried didn't work. So they were willing to look again in a new direction. And it was in that freedom from the known that they found the new development, right? And so can we. It's the same process that happens. I want to get really abstruse now. If this hasn't been an abstruse enough sermon, does it make sense, number one? No, thank you. There we go. Just what I wanted to hear. Gives me confidence for the second service. Yes. Lovely. But it's very practical. We may say, oh, this is so abstruse. No, it's not. It's simply letting go of preconceptions so that you can actually be present to the now, right? And to know that that's okay, because that is God. God is the nothingness that contains the everything. Right? It's the boundlessness, the spaciousness. I want to read the Heart Sutra, which is recited every day in most monasteries throughout Buddhist tradition, in many countries, especially in Zen tradition. And this is a translation of the Heart Sutra. It was written and translated about 10 years ago now by Kazuaki Tanahashi and Joan Halifax. Joan Halifax is a American Buddhist nun from Santa Fe, does wonderful work on death and dying, but I love her stuff, and I like this guy too. But I love their translation of it because it makes sense. Some of the translations are hard to understand, but this one I think makes sense. And I'll read it all the way through, but let it wash over you. It's not scary. It's illuminating, actually, if we let it work its wonders in us. Very short sutra. It's called the Heart Sutra because it goes to the heart of the Buddhist teaching. Avalokiteshvara, who helps all to awaken, moves in the deep course of realizing wisdom beyond wisdom. He sees that all five streams of body, heart, and mind are without boundary and frees all from anguish. O Shariputra, who listens to the teachings of the Buddha, form is not separate from boundlessness. Boundlessness is not separate from form. Form is boundlessness. Boundlessness is form. Feelings, perceptions, inclinations, and discernments are also like this. O Shariputra, boundlessness is the nature of all things. It neither arises nor perishes, neither stains nor purifies, neither increases nor decreases. Boundlessness is not limited by form, nor by feelings, perceptions, inclinations, or discernment. It is free of the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. Free of sight, sound, smell, touch, taste, and any object of mind. Free of sensory realms, including the realm of the mind. It is free of ignorance and the end of ignorance. Boundlessness is free of old age and death, and free of the end of old age and death. It is free of suffering, arising, cessation, and path, and free of wisdom and attainment. Being free of attainment, those who help all to awaken abide in the realization of wisdom beyond wisdom and live with an unhindered mind. Without hindrance, the mind has no fear. Free from confusion, those who lead all to liberation embody profound serenity. All those in the past, present, and future who realize wisdom beyond wisdom manifest unsurpassable and thorough awakening. Knowing that realizing wisdom beyond wisdom is no other than this wondrous mantra, luminous, unequaled, and supreme, it relieves all suffering. It is genuine, not illusory. So, set forth this mantra of realizing wisdom beyond wisdom. Set forth this mantra that says, Gate, Gate, Paragate, Paramsamgate, Bodhiswaha, which translated means gone, gone, gone beyond, gone completely beyond. Oh, what an awakening. Now, there's a lot in there, isn't there? But it's beautiful, isn't it? And I love that. Without hindrance. See, we live when we realize the emptiness and spaciousness and boundlessness. We live with an unhindered mind. We're truly creative. We're truly open. We're loving the one with us. We're loving the universe. Everything's good, right? We can surely say, I am free. I am unlimited. There are no chains that bind me, right? It's not just a nice idea anymore. It's the reality of who we are. Because with an unhindered mind, without hindrance, the mind has no fear. We've overcome all the stuff that gets in our way. And then that wonderfully hippie mantra at the end. Gone, gone, gone beyond, gone completely beyond. What an awakening. You remember the Eagles song? I'm already gone. One of the great mystical songs of rock and roll music. I'm already gone. We are already gone. Where have we gone? Gone nowhere. We're just gone. We're not subject to. We are free, right? To the degree that we can live from that, let go, right, of unconditioned. So what a wonderful work this week to be gone, gone beyond. I am not limited to what circumstances tell me. I am gone into this realm of infinite possibility and boundlessness, right? Where I can be truly creative, where I can take that energy, come and bring it back down into where I am. Imagine the difference in the workplace when we can do that. Imagine the difference in your marriage or in your relationship with somebody else because we're not conditioned anymore. Your spouse is going to go, whoa, what happened? You were you. Where have you been all these years? I had a go to come back. I had to be gone to be real. But I'm gone, baby, I'm gone. Totally gone. Like I said, I think I'll shut up now because that's enough. That's enough crazy sermon for... That's what happens when I go to Unity Village for a week, you know. Yeah, I come back really kind of, I'm gone. Let's meditate now.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.